An elegant mechanism.
By Laughsalot 3412. Read by Sun Kitten Shash. A Kin Porsche Omegaverse fic. Main pairing, Kim Che. Rated mature. Summary. Kim was only an Omega when he was luring people closer to his gun. No one had to give Kim a weapon. He was one. Kim's mission is to get close to poor Che Kitasawat. Che is not a typical Alpha. Kim is not a typical Omega. Kim isn't having feelings, and Che is going to be so normal about all of this. Author's notes. Title is from a quote by Alexandra Katahakis. Disassociation is an elegant mechanism. The process of repair demands a reassociation with the body, a commitment to dive into the body and feel today what we couldn't feel yesterday because it was too dangerous. Chapter 1. Walking into his father's study always felt like going to war. It was a shitty kind of war, where Kim's only weapons were sarcasm and obsessive nosiness. A pathetic effort, really. But anyone who judged him had never stood across from Korn and looked at his mild smile. They'd never breathed in the scent of the head Alpha, strangling like hands around his throat, forcing him to submit, 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 little Omega. It is so nice to see you home, his father said warmly. He sat behind his desk and watched Kim with eyes that never blinked. Kim balled his fists inside the pockets of his leather jacket and drove his nails into the meat of his palms. You called for me. Would you be able to assist the pack in a small matter? The Omega instinct that lived inside of Kim perked up at the thought. It missed its pack. It wanted to care for them and help them. It hated that Kim's clothes hadn't smelled like his brother's in years. With long practice, Kim shoved the instinct down. I'm here, aren't I? He asked. You are. The first time Kim's father had explicitly asked him to kill someone, he'd been living on his own for 3 weeks. His father had said, The man has a weakness for Omegas that you can exploit. Or, if you prefer, I can send one of your brothers. Tenkun's scent is so much weaker than it used to be. Kim had gone off his scent blockers for a few days, put some shimmer around his eyes, and then killed the man as messily as he knew how. The stink of the Alpha's breath had stayed in Kim's nose for days afterwards. But Tenkun or Kin hadn't had to do it, and that was what mattered. Protecting his brothers was the only thing that had truly mattered to Kim for years. Even his music was an afterthought to making sure they never knew how many showers it took to scrub the feeling of unwanted fingers off their body. Kim held out his hand for the tablet his father offered him, because it was the only thing he could do. He was tired. He'd been in the studio until dawn with nothing to show for it. The notes hadn't come, like they knew his fingers would be dripping red the next day. Want me to do this guy sloppy or neat? Kim asked, intentionally crude, because his father hated that. Korn pretended like he hadn't spoken and motioned to the tablet. I want you to get close. I always do. And stay close. This isn't a hit. I'm sending you as insurance. I want you ready to mobilize whenever I give the order. Kim ignored the tablet in his hand. I can't just drop everything to become a live-in Omega fuck toy. He smiled pleasantly. People would notice. His language finally earned him a frown from his father. A hollow victory, but that was the only kind he ever won. Kim Han, look at the file. There was a thrum of Alpha Command and Pack Leader underneath Korn's voice that hadn't been present before. His scent pressed in, and King's Omega had him swiping through the file before he realized he'd brought it up to his face. The Omega in him was such a weakling. Shit like this was why Kim kept it on a leash. Kim's brain finally caught up to what he was seeing. This is a kid.
Hardly. He is only 4 years younger than you.
The boy's face staring up at Kim was crinkled into an awkward smile, but his eyes were sweet. It was clearly some kind of school yearbook photo. He was wearing a uniform. The next picture had the boy wrapped up in the arms of an older guy, both of them beaming at the camera. The file identified them as Porsche and Porsche Kitasawat. Brothers.
Porsche started here over a month ago, Korn continued. He replaced Big as Kin's head bodyguard.
The mention of Kin set Kim instantly on alert. Publicly, Kin was now the head of the family business. But really, their father was still in charge, spinning his plots in the background. The only thing Korn loved more than control was a good game, and making Kin dance to his tune seemed to be his favorite one. There were at least a dozen reasons why Korn could want leverage against someone placed so close to Kin. None of them would be for Kin's sake. Kim said, "This has Porsche listed as an Omega. You're letting an Omega guard Kin?"
"Yes," Korn says placidly.
As if having an Omega in the field didn't fly against every single societal convention. It was a disapproval so strong, it almost counted as a taboo. It was unheard of to give an Omega a weapon and point them in the direction of a fight. Except for a Therianthropus Omega, of course. But really, Kim was only an Omega when he was luring people closer to his gun. The rest of the time, Kim kept that bitch locked up tight where it couldn't bother him. No one had to give Kim a weapon. He was one. Every one of Kim's danger alarms was pinging regarding this situation. His father always had plans within his plans. Whatever Korn was setting into motion was going to be huge, and it was going to end bloody, because his father's machinations always did. And, of course, he'd placed Kin firmly in the middle, where he couldn't avoid the blood, no matter which way he moved. Kim's Omega wanted him to leave this room, find Kin, and burrow with him somewhere safe. Kim smacked it back down. Not yet. If his father wanted Porsche Kitasawat, then Kim would serve the boy up to him on a silver platter. And maybe, just this once, he would be able to figure out the trick to the game before it exploded in Kin's face. Korn was waiting, always so patient, ready to see Kim's move. His father's scent was heavy in the air, pressing down on Kim's throat. It tasted like poison when he breathed.
"Submit," it ordered him. "Submit."
Kim said, "I'll set up the holding pattern. Contact me when you want the kid hurt." Korn's satisfaction wafted through the air, cloying and thick. Kin had no idea that their father had kept Kim in the business all these years. Unlike Kim, his brother was shit at controlling his instincts. If he knew, well, he would never know. Kim was not a normal Omega. He would never be sweet and soft and loving. In Kim, all the typical Omega instincts twisted in on themselves and turned violent and bloody. His type of care for his pack was monstrous. But it was still care. Kim considered himself the sort of person who was built for either air-conditioned recording studios or moonless nights.
And yet, here he was, sitting at an outdoor fucking table at a terrible fucking noodle shop at 4 o'clock in the fucking afternoon. "Sir, would you like a bowl?" the waitress asked. Oh, this day just kept getting better. Apparently so. Hold the dumplings. The noodles arrived with dumplings, because of course they did. They squelched around in the bowl, oily and undercooked. Disgusting. He scooped them out and methodically wrapped them in napkins until finally, his target walked around the corner. Porsche Kitasawat looked sadder in real life than he had in his pictures. There was a slump to his shoulders as he walked slowly down the street, his hands tangled in his backpack straps, like he was holding himself together. Porsche's file didn't have his designation, but he was obviously an Omega, the same as his brother. That sweet, round face of his was born to gaze up adoringly at some alpha and murmur sweet, calming nothings. Whatever. Kim had stayed on his scent blockers for this. Today was just about recon. He was going to observe the target from a distance and get a read on him. He'd bring his scent into play once he knew the angle. It turned out his intel had been good about the boy's affinity for this horrendous noodle place. Porche slumped into the courtyard, looking around hazily like he was too tired to remember what people did in restaurants. When his eyes skipped over Kim, however, the boy's whole body froze. His eyes widened, and his mouth actually, literally fell open with surprise. Kim's muscles tensed in response, ready for whatever he would do next. If Porche Kitasawat pulled a gun, Kim didn't give a fuck about his father's orders. He was taking this pretty little Omega down hard. The boy visibly snapped himself out of whatever trance he'd been in, and walked hastily into the shop. Shit. Well, so much for being subtle. Leaving would have looked even more suspicious. So, Kim pulled out his phone and pretended to scroll through social media. Every part of his body was alert and aware, watching the door with his peripheral vision. After a few excruciating minutes, the boy came out with a takeout container in a plastic bag. He cast a few hesitant glances at Kim, who continued to pretend to ignore him. Then, Borche took a breath, tightened his grip on the bag, and headed over to Kim's table. Porche walked hesitantly, like someone who hadn't had any training, or like someone who wanted him to think that. If attacked, Kim could lunge and use the table as cover. "Excuse me, hi, sorry, if you want me to leave, that's okay." Porche's voice was just as sweet as his face. It had a lilt to it, like music. Kim couldn't have helped looking up from his phone if he'd wanted to. That didn't sound like an opening from someone who had a gun in his jeans, but you never knew. Kim decided to play it out. "It's fine," he said neutrally. "Hi." Porche squeaked. There was no other word for it. "Hi," he breathed. "I apologize for interrupting your lunch. Or your dinner, maybe?" Kim raised his eyebrows. Porche's face was turning a dusky red. "What I meant to say was, can I have your autograph, Peewick?"
"Oh.
Oh, fuck." Kim knew, logically, that this was a good development for him. It was certainly going to be easier to ingratiate himself with a fan than with a complete stranger. But adaptability was not one of Kim's strengths. It couldn't be. He kept the parts of his life too separate for that. He had planned to be Kim Han today. He'd been assessing Che like Kim Han, which meant his mind was full of blood and violence, ticking away like a bomb on a timer. Wick was one of his favorite people to be, but he had to work to become him every time. What was he even wearing? Was it something Wick would wear? He shoved away the part of himself that had been cataloging ways to incapacitate this boy, and turned the lock on it. Nothing to see here. Wick's smile came to him easily, the one he used to dazzle crowds. It usually earned him smiles in return, and maybe some swooning. Wick had the kind of smile that set people at ease. Kim knew that, because he had spent hours perfecting it. So of course, for some goddamn reason, it made Porche hesitate. He tipped his head to the side, like a confused puppy. "It's always nice to meet a fan," Kim said, pulling out all the stops, making his smile warmer. "Come closer, come closer. I'd love to sign anything you want."
"Oh, never mind, it's okay."
Porche was smaller than Kim had thought, originally. Or he looked smaller now, anyway. The realization steadied Kim. This boy couldn't hurt him. "Really, the autograph was just an excuse," Porche confided, with an embarrassed duck of his head. "I just wanted to say that I love your music. Like, so much." This was more familiar ground. Kim kept his smile. "Thanks. What's your favorite song?"
"Complicated," Porche said promptly. "Well, maybe Hide. It depends on the kind of day I've been having. What's yours?"
"Asking me to choose? Impossible."
"You made me choose,"
Porche protested, but he was grinning. "I must trust your judgment, then." Kim said it lightly, but not too lightly, planting the seed. The boy scrunched up his nose.
"I'm not sure you should. I cracked an egg into the trash can this morning instead of the pan."
Kim's snort of amusement burst out of him without his permission. It wasn't a very Wick thing to do. He schooled his face back into something more acceptable. Porche had lit up, though.
"I seriously did," he said, with exaggerated pathos. "And it was my last egg, too."
Kim's lips twitched. "I'm sorry. That sounds hard."
"It was Peewick. Thank you,"
Porche said, holding a hand over his heart. There was a mischievous smile tucked in the corner of his mouth. Kim leaned towards Porche, leaving his body language open and relaxed. He let his eyes linger on that mouth, just long enough that Porche would notice. "Anything I can do to make your day less tragic?"
"No thanks," Porche said immediately. "I don't need you to do anything."
Kim's omega gave an unhappy twist in his stomach.
"Oh, shut up, needy slut. This has seriously been the best part of my week," Porche continued. "Thanks so much."
"Eat dinner with me." Kim tried to make it sound like an invitation rather than a command. He couldn't let this boy out of his orbit yet. He needed to press in and make the connection.
"Oh," Porche blushed again, pleased. "I don't want to make you uncomfortable."
"You're not."
It was weirdly true.
Kim was relaxing the longer they talked. He wasn't entirely sure how he knew, but he was confident that Porche wasn't a threat.
"Well, if you're sure..."
Porche set his bag on the chair opposite him. "You can kick me out any time. I really mean it." Kim knew he could. He could break this boy's arm and leave any time he wanted. But still, his omega liked hearing Porche say it.
"I'm Che," the boy said, with a huge, sunny smile. "It's nice to meet you, Peewick."
Kim smiled back, because he was supposed to be charming this kid. "It's Kim, actually. Wick is just a stage name. He hesitated for effect. I probably shouldn't have told you that. Che sat down hastily.
Don't worry, I won't tell anyone.
Kim made his eyes a bit wider. He worried his lip between his teeth.
You won't?
He used this technique often, offering up an inconsequential fact like it could hurt him, and watching people's smugness grow. People liked control, and they enjoyed having a boy with sad eyes under their thumb from the very beginning.
Thank goodness. My publicist would kill me.
Che did not look smug. He leaned back in his chair and frowned at him, concerned.
Kim had spent his whole life tricking strangers into liking him. He was very good at it. So why was this boy fucking frowning at him?
Then, Che perked up.
Oh, I know.
He rummaged excitedly in his pocket for his wallet, pulled out his ID card, and slid it across the table towards Kim.
Now you know stuff about me, too, so we're even.
Kim stared at it. His father had paid someone to dig up this information, and the boy had offered it after a few minutes of conversation.
Might want to take a picture of it, Che said helpfully. I mean, unless you have a good memory.
What am I saying?
You're a wick. You probably have an amazing memory.
Kim nudged the card back with the tip of his finger. You shouldn't just give people that information.
You're the famous one. I'm not important enough for people to mess with.
Kim, third son of the most powerful family in Bangkok, said, You never know. Che laughed at him. I know, P. Kim, trust me.
I don't even have any eggs in my fridge.
It's not safe, Kim said, knowing he was being weirdly insistent and unable to stop himself. Identity theft has one of the lowest conviction rates and causes the most financial damage to people in your demographic. That was not a fact that Wick would know. This was not a conversation Wick would have with a fan. And yet, for some reason, it was the thing that finally brought the stars back into this boy's eyes. Sweetness filled Kim's lungs with the scent of comfort. The scent reminded him of waking up to his mother's fresh bread on a cool morning. Kim tipped his head towards Che to get a better whiff without deciding to do it. Che took back his card, blushy and happy.
I didn't know that, he said, more softly than he had spoken before. Thanks for looking out for me, P. Kim.
Warmth dripped through Kim like golden syrup. His Omega purred at him, pleased to provide care for this boy. Kim snarled internally at it and shoved it back down.
It was infuriating today.
Che began backpedaling immediately.
Not that you were looking out for me. I didn't mean... Obviously, we're just being nice. I'm smart. That's all I meant. Thanks for being nice. And, smart.
With every word, Che slid further down in his seat, like he was melting. He slumped so far down that when he snuck a look at Kim, he was peering up through his bangs. Kim liked that. He was usually the one gazing up at a mark while batting his eyelashes. Poor Che Kitasawat had very expressive eyes. Warm, like his scent. Podcasts, Kim said abruptly.
Podcasts are great, Che exclaimed,
like that had been a totally normal thing for Kim to say. Kim was supposed to be soothing this boy's embarrassment to keep him on the hook. Instead, his mouth said, That's how I knew the stuff about identity theft. Che nodded rapidly.
Oh, true crime stuff? My friend Om listens to those. I'm always like, please do not tell me about horrible murders. I am literally living in an empty house by myself. But does he care?
No,
He does not. I like the funny ones. Have you heard Enjoy the Wine? That one's good. And there's another one. It's so cute.
And so Kim, who had never listened to a single episode of a podcast in his entire life, spent the next 15 minutes listening to Che's meandering descriptions. It should have been boring. But instead, it was weirdly calming. It reminded him of Tan-kun when his brother got started talking about his dramas. The chatter gave him a moment of respite, where nothing was expected from him, and he found himself taking a deep breath. Che had moved on to talking about music podcasts. He opened up his container of noodles and interrupted himself to ask, "Do you mind if I eat?" He sat there and waited, still low enough in his chair that he was looking up at Kim. He waited until Kim nodded, and then tucked in with gusto. Weird. Eating did not slow the chatter.
"So yeah, I like the host's vibe. It's nice and— Ah, wait, they didn't give you dumplings in your noodles. No wonder you're not eating. Here, here."
Che wiggled upright to snag a dumpling from his bowl and place it into Kim's. Kim looked at the dumpling, and then looked at Che. Che gestured expansively with his chopsticks.
"What kind of fan would I be if I let you starve to death? Twitter would kill me."
His face turned slightly haunted. "Actually, if Twitter knew I was having dinner with you, they'd probably kill me regardless.
Hey, so, unrelated, but are you going to post about this on Twitter?"
"No," Kim said, and ate the dumpling. Che had clearly gotten a superior chef, because it tasted fine. That comforting scent from earlier was back. It smelled so good that Kim ate another bite of his food, even though it had long gone cold. He hadn't eaten all day, he realized. Another dumpling appeared in his bowl. When Kim raised his eyebrows at Che, the boy made a little eep sound and shoveled more food into his mouth.
Everything about poor Che Kitasawat was so fucking weird.
They lingered at the table after Che had finished his meal, talking about bands and music. Kim hadn't talked this much since Wick had done an interview 2 months ago, but he didn't feel exhausted like he usually did. Che was interesting and funny, and before Kim knew it, 2 hours had passed. It wasn't that Kim ever forgot he was on a job. It was just that the job was easier than usual, as if reaching for the mask took less work. "I want music to put Thailand on the map, like K-pop did for Korea," Kim said. "We have the talent. We just need the industry structure to support it." Che was listening, both of his elbows resting on the table, and his chin propped in his hands.
"You could do it, P. Kim. I really believe that."
That made his omega preen. Kim had given up on trying to keep it silent during this conversation. Instead, he steadfastly ignored the way it wanted him to duck his head and smile at the sincerity of the words. Kim hadn't meant to get so deep with this kid. Time to wrap this up. He put on his most dismissive expression and said, "Anyway, it's getting late. Shouldn't you be heading home?" A shadow flitted across Che's face, swiftly replaced by his customary smile. "No one's waiting for me. But yeah, you're right. I should let you get going. Thank you so much for dinner."
"You're the one giving me food," Kim pointed out, refusing to acknowledge the unhappy whine his omega gave at "no one's waiting for me."
"Of course I did," Che said, like it really was self-evident.
His cheeks got pink when he said, "If I ever see you back here, I'll give you more." Kim's lips twitched into a smile before he forced them to flatten.
"How about I take you to dinner next time?
Jay's head whipped up to stare at him.
For real?
Sure, Kim said. I owe you 2 dumplings after all. It was supposed to be cute, but Che got surprisingly serious.
No, you don't, Pekim, he said. They were a gift.
For the first time, Che met Kim's eyes and held them. Those dark, warm eyes wouldn't let him go. Okay, Kim managed. Thank you. Che smiled, and the spell released.
You're welcome.
Kim blurted out words without thinking. What do you want to do instead? Che looked startled, but not unhappily so.
You want to hang out with me again?
Yes.
Wow, okay. Really? Okay.
Che bounced in his chair.
Do you want to, play some music at my house? I'm not good. Actually, compared to you, I'm terrible, but it might be fun.
All right, Kim said. Does tomorrow evening work for you? Che broke into a grin so bright, Kim could barely stand to look at him.
Yes! Oh my god, I would love that!
The sweet smell of poor Che's delight swept over him. Kim dug his fingernails into his palms to stop his Omega from tipping his head back and offering his throat. The Omega knew it had done well. Oh, they had both done so well. It wanted to purr, wanted to display, because this boy was pleased, and they were the reason. And finally, Kim realized how much danger he was in. Reality broke through the haze, as shocking as if Che had pulled a gun on him after all. Kim was too much of a professional to jerk back, but every cell in his body recoiled. His muscles clenched for a fight, and God, he'd been so relaxed, like an idiot.
Pekim?
Che had turned hesitant.
We don't have to.
Kim's Omega had been going nuts during this entire conversation. He had ignored it, because he was used to shoving it aside, telling it to shut up. He'd seen this boy's blushes and softness and assumed. He just assumed. Che was still talking.
Actually, yeah, that's probably too much. I'm sorry.
There was only one reason Kim's instincts would be reacting like this. It had been staring him in the face the entire time. Poor Che Kitasawat was an alpha. A strong one. Kim had been sitting across from him with absolutely no idea until that weak part of him had started begging for approval. That was the worst part about alphas. They could make an Omega think he wanted something, even though he never had, and he never would. It was stupid to feel betrayed. So Kim firmly told himself that he did not feel that way.
Get it together, Omega. The mark is staring.
I want to, Kim said brusquely. He physically could not make the words sweeter. Give me your phone. Meekly, Che handed his phone over. Kim added his number as Kim with a heart emoji and gave it back. Text me. Che was melting in his chair again, though he didn't look embarrassed this time. He looked confused.
If you want me to.
Text me right now, Kim snapped. Che squeaked and sent a text while Kim watched. Because of the contorted way Che was sitting, Kim would have a few seconds advantage if he made a move. It calmed him enough to stop him from slamming Che's head into the table.
If you change your mind, it's okay, Che said. Whatever you want to do is okay.
Kim wanted to strangle him. He could picture it so clearly. How the alpha's soothing lure of a voice would finally stop. Choked out by Kim's hands. I know it is. Like you said, I'm the famous one.
Right, Che said immediately. And you are my senior.
And you're, like, my idol.
So yeah, whatever you say goes.
People thought Wick was a beta. He hadn't publicly said it, but he'd planted enough clues that people online felt confident. He had never been more grateful for his own foresight. Because if Porche knew the truth, there was no way he would say that and mean it. Enough. Kim had a job to do. He pushed his chair roughly back from the table and got to his feet. "Tomorrow, then," he said, and left before Porche Kitasawat could say another sweet, lying word. The smart move would have been to go off his scent blockers that night and approach Porche like he'd approached every other alpha his father had served him up to. Instead, when he got home, Kim took his scent blockers and his heat suppressant and texted Big, "Give me a name." Big was one of the few bodyguards who would actually work with him and not immediately run to tell tales to his brothers. Kim wouldn't say they liked each other, but the beta wanted Kim safe more than anything else in the world, so they found common purpose. Recently, their list of targets had only been growing. Kim tied his hair back and put on heavy boots. He changed out of the clothes he was wearing because he swore he could smell Porche on them. Big texted him with several names and the address of a seedy bar by the docks. Some research of his own revealed that these assholes had been causing Kim headaches for months. Perfect. Kim took one of his flashy cars because he wanted to make a scene. When he arrived, he kicked the door of the bar open and strode inside. The smell of knothead alphas mixed with cigarettes and sour beer. At least 10 men turned to stare at him in the doorway. They did not look pleased.
"Who the hell are you?"
asked a bald man with very performative muscles. He was on the list. Kim allowed it all to fall away. Wick with his charm, Pee Kim with his kind concern for his university juniors, the Omega whining beneath his skin. When he smiled at the bar, all that was left was Kim Han Thirupanyakul. Kim Han only had one purpose. He kicked the door shut behind him and said, "I hear you owe Kun Kin some respect," and didn't say a single word after that. Kim Han's mind was always blissfully blank when he killed. He carried a gun in his belt and a knife in his boot, but he preferred to use his hands. He liked the way the skin on his knuckles split and bled. He liked the physicality of it. It felt like there was a chance that someone else might get lucky for once and hit him in a place no one could heal. No one was quite lucky enough tonight. When it was done, Kim limped out of the bar and left the door flapping open behind him. He could feel the beginnings of truly impressive bruises when he threw himself into his car and careened off home. He went straight to his bed and collapsed into a dreamless blackness until the afternoon sun woke him hours later. Light streamed around his curtain and he could smell blood. Kim groaned and rubbed his face with his hands. Ah, that's where the blood smell was coming from.
Gross.
Every inch of his body ached, and he pressed into it, because pain was always welcome. He pushed himself out of bed and into the shower, washing off the crusty blood and watching it swirl red down the drain. His busted knuckles stung, but they would be fine. Kim was always fine. When he got out of the shower, he checked his phone. There were some messages from his classmates about a group project. He'd already sent in his part,
and one from Baig confirming the neutralization of the threat. He had one from the contact in his phone that was just the gun emoji. "Do you need to text me?" Kim scoffed. He was tempted to just ignore it, but he knew he wouldn't. He always responded to this number, and it always responded to him. That was the agreement. "No." "Better be sure, because I have a busy day." "If I'd needed to text you, I would have." "Messy scene last night. I'm so proud." "Fuck you very much." "Rude, pup." Kim growled and deleted the text chain. He finished toweling his hair dry and pulled on a sleeveless shirt. He got another text notification and was about to send a string of profanities when he saw it was from a different number. From Porche. "Hi, P. Kim. It was super great to meet you last night." Grinning emoji. "I was thinking it might be more convenient for you if we didn't meet at my house. We could meet in a park or something." "Anywhere you want." Sparkle emoji times two. The text had the tone of a communication that had been workshopped many times to appear casual. Kim knew that tone. Another message. Porche. "That is if you still want to hang out, of course. No pressure, Ovs." Smiling blushing emoji times three. It was evidence of how much he'd fucked up last time if his mark was reassuring him, not the other way around. Fuck. Going into an alpha's space always sucked, because alphas stunk their territories full of their scent in an attempt to intimidate whoever visited. When an alpha invited you over, it was a power play that they always won. Going to the house was the right move, though. Che had been accommodating and sweet yesterday, but that wasn't what Kim was after. Getting close to an alpha eventually meant submitting to them in their space. Kim was still on scent blockers, and Porche thought he was a beta, so at least it would suck a little less. His omega was silent. No matter how it had wagged its tail yesterday, it was afraid of going to Porche's house. See? This was why Kim didn't let it make decisions. Kim took a second to remember how Wick texted. Exclamation points. "I definitely still want to hang out. No worries, your house works great." Two hearts emoji. "Send me the address." "You mean you didn't take a picture of my ID card yesterday after all? Gosh, P. Wick." Face with monocle emoji times two. "I was respecting your privacy." "Oh, you don't have to. Haha, I meant like, it's all cool. You're coming over anyway, so..." Winky face with tongue emoji. "Okay, I'm going back to class now." "Study hard. I'll see you tonight." Pretty face emoji times two. Star Wars emoji times two. Raised hands emoji times three. Kim realized he was smirking down at his phone and wiped it off his face. Author's notes. Kim. Look at that being of pure evil. Che. Helping a little old lady across the street. Smiling blushing emoji. Kim. What a monster. Che. Placing a baby bird gently back into its nest. Smiling blushing emoji. Kim. Tell me what you're planning! Che. Looking up from the kitten he's petting.
Sorry, P. Kim, did you say something?